30 years ago, it was a death sentence, and it primarily affected IV drug users and gay men. But today, advancements in drug treatments have made HIV more of a chronic disease that can be managed. But that presents a new set of problems. We're taking a look at Florida's high rate of new HIV infections all this week and on Florida Matters this afternoon. In this preview, Health News Florida editor Mary Shedden speaks with Dr. Diane Straub about just who's getting infected and why HIV as a chronic disease is such a problem.
Do you think there are misconceptions about who is getting it or how people are getting it?
I think people feel like you have to be an IV drug user or gay to get it, which certainly those are the highest numbers, but those are certainly not the only ones who get it. And I think there's just – it's interesting how little relevance people see related to it anymore. I was telling somebody recently that I do – that I work with kids who are HIV positive, and they were just like, really? Are there very many of those? I didn't think HIV was a big deal anymore. And I was just astounded by that response. So clearly, I think in terms of education, it's become less relevant because people think there's less of it. And it's become less relevant because it's not scary anymore.
The rates of new infection being diagnosed increased about 12% over just the past year. Do you have any sense of why that may be? And what did that message say to you as someone who's been watching?
I think it says that we're not investing in prevention. In other states, there's a lot more effort going into preventing HIV. A lot of states are talking about, let's make it zero. Let's bring the infection rate down to zero. They're really putting a lot of efforts into it. For instance, New York was the number one state before us, and their governor has put a lot of effort into it and money into it. And so there's been needle exchange programs, quite a few different programs that have really attacked HIV transmission rates, and it works. And we have not had that same commitment here in Florida to decreasing the rates of HIV.
In 2013, 428,000 Floridians were tested through the public health departments. That's significantly more than ever before, but 5,377 people were diagnosed with new infections. What do you think are the key reasons why the numbers went up so much and continue to increase?
Well, for one thing, the biggest driver right now in the HIV epidemic is young men who have sex with men. And this generation of YMSMs did not see all of their friends die from AIDS. They think of HIV as a chronic disease. I've given an HIV diagnosis and actually had a kid say, I knew I was going to get it anyway. At least now I don't have to worry about it anymore. So there's a lot of barriers once you get a positive HIV test. You have to disclose to your family, which often means disclosing your identity. And there's a lot of homophobia, which makes that very difficult to do. There's a lot of barriers to getting into the medical system. Once you get into the medical system, you have to actually get the medication. They're very expensive. And then adhering to the medication can be very difficult. So it's a long process from HIV diagnosis to getting virally suppressed. And when you're not virally suppressed, if you're still having sex, you're spreading it to others. So a lot of the emphasis in recent years has been to not just testing, but also getting them treated, because that's where we're going to prevent transmission.
As you said, about half of the new infections are men who have sex with other men. But you're also talking about infections in the transgender community, which faces unique barriers, infections in the older community, folks who are 50 plus. Is it important to address prevention and education differently in those communities?
Absolutely. I think those messages need to be very different. And they all faced very different obstacles. I mean, you mentioned the transgender community. Oh my goodness, do they face many, many obstacles and so much stigma. And being HIV positive is just one of many. I often say with some of my patients that HIV is the least of their problems. Like, it's not going to be the thing that kills them, because there's so many other things that they're dealing with before they even get to HIV.
In the African American community, many men who are becoming infected and they're not admitting to their other partners, if they have female partners, that they are having sex with other men. That's a powerful stigma in the African American community. Are there ways to reach that at-risk community, both African American men and African American women?
the Department of Health had a program a couple years ago that was called Silence Equals Death, and it particularly addressed the African-American community and was actually really effective because it started to turn around the epidemic in the overall African-American community. Still, black MSM rates are very, very high, but it was really, really effective in doing that. So I do think that targeted efforts are really helpful. The church is a cornerstone in the African-American community, and as you can imagine, that's a very difficult place to have this conversation. But there have been some really strong and, you know, passionate faith leaders who have stepped out and really tried to address this issue.
Let's talk about people having sex. People of all ages have sex. Why are prevention efforts not working? Is it a malaise that HIV is no longer a terminal illness?
One of the things that I think is problematic is that prevention efforts are siloed. So there's pregnancy prevention, there's STI prevention, and there's HIV prevention. We all want to stop the same thing. We all want to have protected sexual behavior. If you look at the youth risk behavior surveillance data, only 8% of teenage girls are using hormonal contraception and barrier protection consistently when they're sexually active. That's terrible. So obviously, we need to be better at our messaging because most of the efforts are really focused on pregnancy prevention. That seems to be much more socially acceptable to talk about that because nobody wants to talk about STDs because they're dirty and there's stigma. And so nobody wants to talk about those. But we'll talk about pregnancy prevention. And the problem is that we now have contraceptive methods that are pretty effective. And so the addition of a condom doesn't really add quite as much. But we really want to continue that messaging because we also want to prevent them from getting STIs.
Why should everyone get an HIV test?
Because there's so many people who don't know they're infected. For instance, when you look at teenagers and young adults, 60% of young people who are infected don't know they're infected. And you don't have symptoms for quite a while after you get HIV. The onset is usually about a decade before you start getting sick from it. So that's years of exposing your partners to HIV, to potentially acquiring HIV. When you didn't know that you were infected.
Diane Straub is a physician at the University of South Florida. You can follow the entire series, HIV in Florida, The Rising Tide of Infection, on our website, healthnewsflorida.org.